الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الذي اصطفى وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I bear witness there's no deity save Allah and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger and his mercy to all mankind. We pray to him to shower his mercy and his blessings upon all the prophets and upon Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon all of them. Dear brothers and sisters, my khutbah today will be about Mary, Sayyidina Maryam. May Allah shower his mercy and blessings upon her. When we look at the Quran, we know that Allah has mentioned her and her son about 33 times. Isa ibn Maryam on one hand, al-Masih ibn Maryam in different forms, but and you will find them that their names been sprinkled throughout the Quran from the Makki period to the Madani period. We find also that she was mentioned by herself on her own 11 times. This is aside or in addition to Allah, that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named a surah after her, Surah Maryam, chapter 19, as we all know. And we know also that she is the only, with no exception, she's the only woman that was named in the Quran. There's a lot of women in the Quran. The queen of Sheba, the mother of Moses, the sister of Moses, the wife of Pharaoh, and so on. But they were not mentioned by names, by name, except her. She's the only one. So obviously, and I can go on, but obviously this is enough to realize that the Quran has exalted her to a higher level, where when she's mentioned that many times, that means really, and the Quran doesn't do it just like this, right? So it means there's a reason. And I believe the reason is because she is a source of inspiration on her own, aside from her son. Otherwise, it would have been always her and her son. And this is not the khutbah, but I'm going to go on the side something quick. Sometimes people tell us, you know, and again, this is not the khutbah, this is a side note. Try to be brief. But I couldn't help notice. Some people tell us that, you know, this Quran of yours is written by a man called Muhammad. And while I was preparing for this khutbah, for this topic, I said, well, you know, if it is written by Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shouldn't he have mentioned Khadija, for example, who he loved so dearly? We all know the love to Khadija, the love to Fatima. I mean, it makes sense if someone you love that much, at least once. No, because he was not the writer. Anyway, so let me go back to the topic. So obviously with all the things that I opened with, so Mary holds an esteem place in the Quran. Thus, she is definitely a beacon of inspiration. And inshallah, that's what I'm going to focus on today. What is interesting, and of course, due to the time, I will share with you the story. And the story has a few chapters. I picked from it only two chapters. So it means, when you hear this khutbah, it's not the end, right? There's a lot more about Mary, but because of the time and in order for us to really capture lessons for us, so I'm not going to go through the whole chapters of the story of Mary. I picked only two chapters. The first chapter I've picked is before the inception of Mary, even, and this is how important that is, because the Quran shed light on her mom. So we start with Surah آلِ عمران chapter 3 verse 35 إذ قالت امرأة عمران ربي إني ذرت لك ما في بطني محررة فتقبل مني إنك أنت السميع العليم. When a woman of the house of Imran prayed, and that's the mother of Mary, O my sustainer, behold, unto thee do I vow the child that is in my womb to be devoted to thee service. Accept it then from me, verily thou alone are all hearing, all knowing. So here we have a mother who, when we look at the history, she was living in a troubling time. The time of the Jews at that time, the Roman Empire was really hostile. Their religion was, you know, opposite to Christianity, to Judaism, and definitely very hostile. So it was a very difficult time. And mother felt that she can't just sit still. She wanted to do something, and she decided that the child that is in her womb should be dedicated to serve God Almighty. And at that time, serving the simple society that they lived in, serving God for them at that time meant serve in the temple, where you pray and you devote yourself with prayers and other type of services, and you help the other worshippers as well. So who is the best fit for the job is a male, is a boy. That was the culturally accepted, and that make sense of that time. So that was, she vowed, like any good God-loving, God-heeding individual, that a member of the family should serve God. So, and she said, "Oh Allah, accept." And this is an eye-opener to all of us, the parents. As we are planning for our children, most of the time we plan for their education, we plan for their marriage. We try as much as we can to interject into the life of our children. I believe we rarely, except for the few, alhamdulillah, but most of us, we focus more on other aspects. And I think the mother of Mary opens our eyes that as we are helping our young men and women to grow, we should also inculcate, we should ingrain, we should teach, we should make sure, as she has done, that servicing will be a part and parcel of their plan as they are growing. Believe you and me, you get them to start early, then they will grow in that mindset that they should also, in addition to all the other things that they do, they should serve God. And alhamdulillah, Islam, as you all know, has expanded serving God by, when the Prophet ﷺ, when you serve the greater cause, the greater good. So when you serving God, God doesn't need us to serve Him. But the Prophet taught us serving God nowadays for us is when you are ready to do something good for humanity, something good for the community, something good for your family, something good, period. So this will be the first step. And then, in the same chapter, we're still with the mother of Mary. She was very sincere and very pure in her intention by devoting her child to serve God. And then we go to the second chapter. Now she is delivering. And the same chapter 3, Surah Ali Imran, verse 36. Then when she delivered it, I won't go through the whole. And of course, وَضَعَتْهَا أُنْثَى. Now she has a female. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ. She was surprised. She was disappointed. إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. In her mind, all her supplication, all her intention, everything has been about a boy. Now she has a girl. So she was disappointed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ. Of course, He is the one who provides. So, and here the Quran puts down, وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. Male is not equal to female. I will elaborate on this shortly. When he سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ, I called her Mary. When أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And I seek refuge in you, O God, from the evil and the satanic whispers. I just want you to, brother and sister, to really live the moment for a second. You are in labor. Woman, well, not man can never experience that. But those of us who have seen their spouse or sisters or whatever, they've seen people in labor, it's a difficult time. Then you get disappointed. You want a boy and they tell you it's a girl. Just imagine someone, obviously she was someone who was very close to God. The mother of Mary was a devout, religious individual, very sincere, very pure. In that moment, look, she turns to a dua. And the dua, it is very amazing because, you know, we all parents do a dua for our children in Ramadan and Fajr and all the time. And really most of our dua, it's you want them to be successful at school, you want them to find a good job, you want them to find a good spouse, and it's all beautiful. When you look at what she did the dua, she asked Allah protect her from evil and from the evil whispers. When you think about it, because when you, she knew, let's not forget, her brother-in-law, Zachariah, her brother-in-law, her sister's husband, is a prophet of God. She comes from a long lineage of Harun, which is the brother of Musa. So the family is a very pious, religious, high-level family when it comes to relationship with God. But look at the penetrating vision of a mom at a difficult time. She's asking Allah to protect this child from evil and from the satanic whispers. Why? Because she knows that eventually this child is going to do what? Is going to be serving God. And evil, brothers and sisters, is at its peak, at its greatness, when he sees us want to serve God. When you want to go see a movie, you want to go do certain things, evil is not at his best. He's not already. But the moment you are about to embark upon something good, as we said, the Islamic door to serving God is so wide open. So when you're about to volunteer, or you're about to give a charity, or you're about to share something, or you're about to stand for the truth, whatever it is, really reflect on yourself. How? What do you experience? The satanic whispers. Why you want to give the money right now? Why don't you give the money for your children? Why don't you save it? They don't need it. Let somebody else do the work. Please, brother or sister, can you volunteer? Satanic whispers, come on, rest. You work hard 5-6 days a week. There's plenty of people who should volunteer. Let somebody else do the work. And so on and so forth. This is real. Because when you're about to do something good, the evil thoughts, the satanic whispers will come roaring and trying to give you 10 million reasons why you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. So serving God is the time that we should guard ourselves from Satan, and this is the penetrating and powerful vision of only people who are closer to God, like her, who had seen. She bypassed everything else, focused on the biggest challenge when she's about to serve God, is that satanic whispers and that evil will come and try to deter her and try to sideline her or distract her and so on and so forth. However, at the beginning, as we said, she was disappointed and she wanted a boy and she got a girl. How often we pray to God and we get disappointed? A lot of times the answer does not come according to what we want. I prayed to God, like she prayed to God, she wanted a boy, she got a girl, we pray to God, we wanted this, and the answer comes in a different form, or a different act, or a different, whatever it might be. And here, the eye opener is, look what Mary has become. Mary's arrival, although she's different what she wanted, her arrival changed the course of history. 2,000 years we are talking about her. She's a source of inspiration for more than almost 60% of the earth. Between, if you add the Christians and the Muslims, you're looking at almost about 4 billion, which is about almost 60% of the human population. And Allah has decreed that her name will be continuously repeated as long as we're alive until the day of judgment. So a lot of times, brothers and sisters, when we seek God and we are sincere and pure like she was, we should realize that the answer might not come like for her, might not come to our the way we want it, but definitely Allah, the most knowing, the most knowledgeable, the most wise, will do what's best for us, not what's best through our eyes, what's best through His eyes. So these are from chapter 1. I would like to read from chapter 1 to go to chapter 2. Chapter 1, in summary, it's more how parents should be sincere and should be pure in their intention and to make sure they had the foresight in really paving a good road for their children as they embark upon the journey of life. Let me go to chapter 2. And inshallah, in the future, we can talk a lot about Ali Imran, that family, amazing family, and have a lot to learn from them. But I think for now, we'll just go to Mary now. Now Mary is born. So we know the background. I won't go through the whole story. Her father passed away. Zakaria, which is her uncle, now took upon the responsibility, went through a process, and he was chosen for him to attend to her needs and to serve her and to care for her. And brothers and sisters, I mean, really, what else? How? I mean, this is the divine touch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that she came from a great family, but she will be reared and guided by a prophet. I mean, this is amazing. What a coach to have someone like Zakaria coaching her, guiding her, teaching her, mentoring her through her life. So he took her into the temple and provided for her and taught her all the things that we know about her. Now I'd like to zero on the lenses on certain qualities that the Quran tells us about her. In the same chapter, chapter 3, Ali Imran, verse 42, the angels are talking to Mary, and they told her that you have been chosen and you are the best woman in the world. And here the Quran comes and Ya Maryam, qnuti li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i marraka'in. O Maryam, devout yourself to God and prostrate and bow to Him. In other words, is pray like the rest. Al-Qunut, brothers and sisters, Uqnuti is the epitome of a deep commitment to a strong relationship with God. That's the best way I was able to put it. Al-Qunut, it is something beautiful. To be a person of Qunut is the person is when you're taking your relationship with God to a much deeper level. Not a superficial level, but a very deep level. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while it was clear that Zakaria has done a splendid job in helping her to foster and to develop a healthy and strong and profound relationship with God Almighty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach all of us how? Through prayers. Prayers, brother and sister, is the vehicle to really, if it is done right, it is the best vehicle. Because everything else in the pillars of Islam can be omitted. You don't have money, you don't go to Hajj, you're sick, you don't have to fast, and so on, except prayers. You cannot, even if you pray with your eyes, prayers is the only act, because it is that vehicle that will do, inshallah, will do for us what it has done for Mary. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ادعو الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي كتب على نفسه الرحمة وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Dear brothers and sisters, we continue chapter 2 of Mary, her qualities. So obviously from that verse that I read with you, she was on a very high level of religiosity and spirituality. This is a quality that she possessed and the Quran marked it. Another quality that we find it in chapter 5, verse 75. Here the Quran is talking about Mal Masih ibn Maryam, that Jesus, the son of Mary, is is one of a kind, and here comes Ummuhu Siddiqa, and his mom is a person that never swerve from the truth. In other words, is she has always been a person of the truth. She spoke the truth. She stood by the truth. She supported the truth. She is person of the truth. And you will find a lot of times when you read about the prophets of God, the people of God, you'll always find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while they are the best of the best, but there's something about their morality that stands out, that the Quran captures it. For us, Al-Amin, the Prophet ﷺ is known to be trustworthy. This is the quality that it is clear about him. Although he was one of a kind, he was the best of the best, but this quality stood out. And this is quality about Maryam that stood out. So on one hand, she was a religious, spiritual, committed in a deep relationship with God. On the other hand, in her character, she was a person of the truth. So when we look at brothers and sisters, and again, I feel like, inshallah, in the future, probably we can, myself or others can talk more about Mary. There's so much more to talk about her qualities. But I think if we are to take away, we'll take away these two things, as we are, as I said earlier, that she is the source of inspiration. And by the way, you'll find people like Ibn Hazm from Andalus. You find someone like Al-Qurtubi. You'll find someone like Abu Hassan al-Ash'ari. Those are giant figures. They consider her to be a prophet. Not everybody agreed. But when I found out that these are prominent figures, these are not just any people, they consider her. And more I was dipping into learning more about her, more I'm realizing I can see why. Nonetheless, so two things I would like us to walk away with when we remember Maryam, remember Mary, is that to really work hard through our prayers and through serving our community, serving our country, serving our city, really seeking to do good. So high spirituality, high religiosity with a high level of commitment to service and a good morality, these are the takeaway when we remember Maryam. And I hope that all of us, we can really embody that and make it part of who we are, and really make sure that our young men and women look to Mary as a source of inspiration and source of guiding light to relationship with God, to morality, and to service. So this is the second chapter which I want to close, but I wanted to, while I was preparing, I noticed something. I'll be remiss if I do not share it with you. You look at a mother, the mother of Mary. You look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. You look at these two ladies who really, you could say, their commitment to God is great. But if I am to focus on Mary, you will find a female, her contribution to human civilization is unmatched. It is something for us to remember as we are raising our daughters, as we are dealing with our spouses, with our wife. Brothers and sisters, we've got to create the space for this giant figure to soar and to put the fingerprints on the society at large, because they are very capable. And while from this pulpit and this center, alhamdulillah, we embarked on this, but it really pains me when I look at the Muslim world, which I do, and I look at other places, and I find that we are still not getting it. We cannot break and soar and make sure our fingerprints are on the human civilization if 50% of our number is not being used to their potential. Mary here changed the course of history, brothers and sisters. And it is time for us to really realize that we've got to create the space. We've got to create the opportunities. We have to be in the forefront, opening the doors for our daughters and our sisters and the whole family, because trust you and me, when your 50% is paralyzed, you will never make it. So inshallah, today, as we look at Mary as a source of inspiration at two fronts, as an individual for the qualities, but more as a community, realize the value of women ought to be in our life. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم إني داع فأقول آمين. Oh, we pray to Allah to strengthen our faith, to purify our hearts, to make us among those who understand the essence of your message, to make us among those who really embark and embrace your message, and to make us among those who are sincere and they are devout in their relationship with you. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. أقم الصلاة.